Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm just going to jump right in. Rolene Marks, to your north, a failed state, a bankrupt state, a state where the middle class has been wiped out completely. People are hungry and fleeing, and they still have the resources and the wherewithal to fire missiles at Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a very simple reason for that, and that is because Iran is trying to flex their muscles, be it through their proxy Hezbollah or other Palestinian factions that are present in southern Lebanon. Now, we don't know who for sure is responsible for the firing of three rockets towards Israel, which set off the code red at Seva Adom earlier today. But what we do know is that one fell short of coming over the border, and two, the other two came into the country, one falling very close to the northern town of Kiryat Shmone, the other landing in an open field. Four people have been treated for shock and anxiety, and the RDF artillery have responded by firing artillery shells into southern Lebanon, and we also know that the Prime Minister, along with the Defense Minister Gantz and RDF Chief of Staff Aviv Kochavi, have met to decide how best to respond to that.
It puts Israel in a very difficult position, Rolene. We've had the ship attacked and casualties, 2 days ago, followed by this today. Israel can't sit back and do nothing.
Well, Israel at the moment is speaking to the international community, because this is not just an Israeli issue, it's an international issue. So we've had today the ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, appealing to the UN Security Council to condemn and to sanction Iran. We've also had the Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom, Dominic Raab, joined by Liberia, which is very interesting. Still don't know the reason for that. And Romania also appealing to the United Nations Security Council to sanction and condemn and take action against the Iranians. Today, we also know that Yair Lapid, he's our foreign minister, along with Benny Gantz, the defense minister, have briefed foreign diplomats in the country about and showed them the intelligence, the proof that they have that Iran is in fact responsible for this attack on the Mercer Street. In this briefing, the defense minister said that, and this is quite frightening, that Iran are only 10 weeks away from getting enough nuclear material to put together a nuclear bomb. He also released the names of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, who he believes or has intelligence to prove are responsible. So he says, and this is Benny Gantz saying, Amir Ali Hajizadeh, he's the commander of the IRGC's Air Force, is behind dozens of terror attacks in the region employing UAVs and missiles. UAVs are drones, unmanned aerial vehicles. He says, for the first time, I will also expose the man who is directly responsible for the launch of suicide UAVs. His name is Saeed Arajani, and he is the head of the IRCG's UAV command. This command conducted the attack on the Mercer Street. Saeed Arajani plans and provides the training and equipment to conduct terror attacks in the region. This is an attack on the world trade route, and this is an attack on the freedom of movement. It is an international crime. And what is the international community going to do about it? We have heard from the Secretary General of the, Secretary of State of the United States, Antony Blinken, saying that there will be a collective response to this.
The Iranians didn't just leave it there. They went on to go and hijack a vessel, did they not?
Yes, we also had reports coming in that there were at least 4 to 6 ships under the control of who they believe are the IGRC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. This was yesterday when the British Maritime Agency or Authority reported that these ships were no longer under the control of their captains. But that was very, very quickly and quietly sorted out. But I think that's Iran trying to take the war to the high seas and threatening very, very important trade routes. This is off the coast of Oman.
Rashida Tlaib, what is she up to? Why has she been condemned for gross anti-Semitic comments?
Well, before we get into Ms. Tlaib's comment, there has been a letter released by several franchisees of Ben & Jerry's with some very, very harsh words to Ben & Jerry's and Unilever, saying that, you know, if you want to have this wonderful social justice, that's all fine and dandy, but don't do it at our expense. And they go on to say that, you know, we also recognize that mixing values with business is often controversial. We do not expect everyone will agree with the values that the company chooses to emphasize. However, they go on to say, the Israeli-Palestinian dispute is such a complex one. There are multiple and conflicting claims of justice made, as there are multiple historical narratives and causes for the conflict's perpetuation. Any reasonable solution must acknowledge these multiple claims and deal with them as a whole. Singling out one set of claims and one narrative as the correct one is fine for propagandists, but it does not advance social justice as we see it. They accused Ben & Jerry's of distorting the facts on the ground and said that the decision that has been made to terminate the contract with Ben & Jerry's licensee in Israel not only distorts the situation on the ground, it has imposed and will continue to impose substantial financial costs on us all. So not only have the governors of five states put Ben & Jerry's and Unilever on blast, so now have many of their franchisees.
I believe they have 90 days in which to respond in Florida, failing which the government, the local governments, won't be able to do business with them at all.
Well, absolutely, and they will divest their pension funds, which is a massive amount of money that they invest in companies like Unilever, which is the holding company of Ben & Jerry. So we are still following this very, very closely and will bring you updates as they happen. But back to Ms. Tlaib, oy vavoy, I tell you, if ever there was somebody who just should quit while she's ahead, I would like to ask her, what platforms does she actually represent for the American people and her constituents in Michigan? Because she seems to be absolutely obsessed, just like Ken Roth from Human Rights Watch, with the Jewish state. And she said she was the first speaker at the Democratic Socialists of America, their national convention, and she said, as I think about my family in Palestine that continue to live under military occupation and how that really interacts with this beautiful black city I grew up in, you know, I always tell people cutting people off from water is violent, and they do it from Gaza to Detroit. She says, I don't care if it's the issue around global human rights or a fight to free Palestine or pushing back against those who don't believe in minimum wage, and goes on to say that that unspecified individuals were profiting by opposing both the Palestinian cause and domestic U.S. policies like health care reform. Now, she was absolutely taken to task by Jonathan Greenblatt. He's the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League. He said, we've heard this kind of ugly anti-Semitic dog whistling before, but it's appalling when it comes from a member of Congress, and many of us piling into Tlaib, calling her out on such profound and appalling anti-Semitism. I'll read you her words again, and I tell people, those same people, if you open the curtain and look behind the curtain, it's the same people that make money, and yes, they do, off of racism, off of these broken policies. There is someone there making money. And you saw it was so exposed during the pandemic, because all those structures, everything that was set up, they made record profit while we were having some of the most challenging and most difficult times in our lives. She is playing into two horrible, horrible stereotypes. One is that we are responsible for a world plague, and the other is that for money we control control the world, a horrible, horrible stereotype.
So what's really interesting about that is Deborah Lipstadt, who apparently has just been recently appointed as the U.S. envoy to combat and monitor anti-Semitism, had very similar things to say about, what's her name, the Somali lady? It's just gone out of my head for a moment.
Ilhan Omar.
There you go. Thank you for that. Saying she actually, it is anti-Semitism. It resorts to anti-Semitic tropes, and they crossed a line, the squad. So very much bearing out what you're saying, Rolene. Very, very, very much so.
It is worrying, and our great concern, and many Jews in America have expressed this, how are these women still in Congress?
In 1 minute, because you do have serious increases in COVID-19 cases in Israel, what measures are you forced now to undertake to prevent further spread?
Well, we have started rolling out at actually record numbers the third vaccine, the booster shot for people the ages of 60 and over. But from Sunday, it will be compulsory to have your green pass with you to enter places. So if you haven't got your green pass and you haven't been vaccinated, you will be blocked from entering many places. There will be purple badge limits on businesses, and the thought from health officials is that if the 1 million people who still haven't been vaccinated don't get vaccinated, we will have to make a choice between mass infection or lockdown. So, the onus is on them to be responsible for their fellow citizen and for their health, and go and get vaccinated.
Rolene Marks, thank you. What a lot there was to talk about today. Can't sound surprised. Thank you for your input.
Tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place.